From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 52 and verse 8. The mercy of God. Meditate a little on this mercy of the Lord. It is tender mercy. With gentle, loving touch, He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. He is as gracious in the manner of His mercy as in the matter of it. It is great mercy. There is nothing little in God. His mercy is like Himself. It is infinite. You cannot measure it. His mercy is so great that it forgives great sins to great sinners after great lengths of time, and then gives great favors and great privileges, and raises us up to great enjoyments in the great heaven of the great God. It is undeserved mercy, as indeed all true mercy must be, for deserved mercy is only a misnomer for justice. There was no right on the sinner's part to the kind consideration of the Most High. Had the rebel been doomed at once to eternal fire, he would have richly merited the doom. And if delivered from wrath, sovereign love alone has found a cause, for there was none in the sinner himself. It is rich mercy. Some things are great, but have little efficacy in them. But this mercy is a cordial to your drooping spirits, a golden ointment to your bleeding wounds, a heavenly bandage to your broken bones, a royal chariot for your weary feet, a bosom of love for your trembling heart. It is manifold mercy. As Bunyan says, all the flowers in God's garden are double. There is no single mercy. You may think you have but one mercy, but you shall find it to be a whole cluster of mercies. It is abounding mercy. Millions have received it. Yet far from its being exhausted, it is as fresh, as full, and as free as ever. It is unfailing mercy. It will never leave you. If mercy be your friend, mercy will keep you in temptation to keep you from yielding, with you in trouble to prevent you from sinking, with you living to be the light and life of your countenance, and with you dying to be the joy of your soul, when earthly comfort is ebbing fast.
Stars in the heavens.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues to focus on the terrible truth of the curse of God's law. The text is Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is seeking to bring sinners face to face with the terrible consequences of ignoring and breaking God's law. First of all, the law exposes sin for what it really is. It is only when a person sees the full implications of God's law that he will understand the seriousness of sin and the awful fate that awaits those who die unrepentant. Then the law condemns sinners for their sin, for all who fail to render a complete and perfect obedience are under God's curse. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called The Curse of the Law.
What is it that makes death such a terrible thing? It is sin. If there were no sin, death, first of all, would not exist. But even if it did exist, it would have no terror. And the strength of sin is the law. Writing to the Romans in 8:2, he said, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus." Now let me just cut through an awful lot of difficult stuff and say, that is a description of the ministry of the gospel. So, the ministry of the Spirit through the gospel has made me free from the law of sin and death. What a description for the law of God. What is Paul talking about? He's talking about the moral law of God. How does he describe it? The strength of sin. That's how he describes it. He describes this holy law of God as the law of sin and death. Now that raises a question. How can Paul write in Romans 7, the law is holy, the law is just, the law is good, and then call it the law of sin? How can he do that? Well, the answer is very simple. That the law of God stands related to sin very closely. Something like cause and effect. Listen to the testimony of Scripture. 1 John 3:4. Sin is the transgression of the law. Romans 4:15. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Chapter 5:13 in Romans. Sin is not imputed where there is no law. Now notice what Paul is saying. It is the law that makes sin, sin. If there were no law, there couldn't be any sin. Wouldn't matter what you did, it would not be sin. Because what gives sin its moral character is the existence of the law of God. It is the law that makes sin sinful. It is the law that reveals the true viciousness of sin. It is the law that shows sin to be what it truly is, a rejection of the holiness of God. Now, the law of God exposes sin for what it is. You can say that academically, that's what it does in the Bible. But you can perish with an academic knowledge of what the law says and does. I want to stress that to you tonight. You can perish, as Saul of Tarsus would have done had he not met with Christ in the Damascus Road. You can perish with your head full of the technical or academic knowledge of what the law is, says, and does. But it's a very different thing when the law of God actually comes to the heart and it destroys your view of yourself. That's why I so much hate this modern psychology of this feel-good religion. Just feel good about yourself. Man, there's no hope for you until you stop feeling good about yourself outside of Christ. There's no hope for you until all your pride is absolutely destroyed. All your self-righteousness is absolutely destroyed. There's no hope for you until your view of your past and your present, your actions, your thoughts, your character is all wiped out and it is replaced with God's view of you and your deeds and your character. That's the hope you have. That's the only hope. The law rips the mask off sinners. This is what it means for a man to come under conviction of sin. I think that's something in these easygoing days of empty believism. I hate to use the word believe even as an ism, because it is such a precious word in the Bible. But nonetheless, we can do no better in these days of empty believism. There is hardly any room for conviction of sin. We have bred a race of preachers who are afraid of conviction of sin. The last thing in the world a church nowadays will do is allow a sinner to come under deep conviction and groan under the weight of his sin. I'm all for pointing the man to Jesus Christ. I'm all for saying, let there be no hindrance between the soul and the Savior. But my friend, I am also all for letting God's law do its job. And that job is to expose sin for what it truly is and allow for no excuses. Let me stop there. If you're in this meeting tonight, you say, I am a sinner, but the law of God has not yet done its work. Oh, I'm sure I'm a sinner, but... And then comes the excuse. Some hypocrite. Somebody else not doing what he's professing to do. Somebody else using the gospel as a cloak of maliciousness. Some Christian has let you down. Or you're better than so and so. Or some excuse. Maybe using your past or the difficulties in your home life or whatever as an excuse for your sin. Man, I tell you, when the law of God comes in, it just rips away all the excuses and it leaves you standing before God. You bow before Him and say, Lord, everything that your law says about my sin is true. Everything that it witnesses to my heart about the depravity and corruption and wickedness of my soul is true. I plead guilty with no excuse. It's the first thing the law does. It exposes sin for what it really is. The second thing it does is that it condemns sinners for their sin. Cursed, our text says. Cursed, underline the word. Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. What is the meaning of that text? In simple everyday English, it means that all who fail to render a complete and perfect obedience to God's law are under God's curse. Isn't that clear? Every man who fails to render a total and perfect obedience to God's law in all its fullness is under God's curse. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to the Jews of His day? John 7 verse 19. None of you keepeth the law. Would He not say the same here tonight? Can you tonight not look beyond this preacher and beyond this pulpit? Gaze into the searching eye of the Son of God. Can you not hear His voice as He fixes that eye on you and says, none of you keepeth God's law, and therefore are under God's curse? The word curse is really a terrible word. Among men, a curse is usually spoken with ill will and malevolence. It's what's called a malediction, an evil saying. A curse is really a wish for some evil to fall upon the one on whom you place that curse. That's the curse among men. But that's not so with God. When God curses, He does not express a wish. He pronounces a judgment. A judgment on one who, according to His law, is worthy of His wrath. Now that is the curse of the words of our text. It's the righteous judgment of a holy God pronounced in strict accordance with God's holy law. Now that makes this text a very serious statement for sinners. You see, by nature, sinners are inveterate rebels. Men are determined sinners. Sin is not only something they do. Sin is something they serve. That's the language of Scripture. They serve. Sin, Paul tells the Romans, rules in their heart. Sin governs the principles of action in their soul. Listen to Romans 7, verse 23. Paul says, I see another law in my members. Underline the words, law in my members. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now what is that law? I pointed out in a former study that you've got to be careful studying the subject of the law in Scripture, because the word law is used in many, many different ways, even in the same context. What is this law of sin in the members? It is a principle of wickedness. A principle of evil that rules like a monarch in the soul and impels that man to rebellion against God. It sounds very good, and it is very popular to believe that sin is merely something negative. I remember in what we called a divinity class in our school back in Belfast, we had to study a book called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. I am not at all advocating C.S. Lewis as a trustworthy theologian. I'm simply saying we had to study it. And one of the great ideas that he was pushing is that sin is a mere negation. It is something always negative. There's a sense in which I can go along with that if by negative you mean a rebellion against God. But sin, my friend, is not merely negative. Sin is a very active, positive, self-seeking, self-serving, God-hating, Christ-dishonoring principle. It sets itself up in the throne of the soul. It reigns as an absolute monarch. It has more power over the soul than any Caesar ever had over the empire. So deep is this principle of evil in the soul of man that everything a man does is corrupted and depraved. Does he read his Bible? He brings to that Bible reading a heart of corruption, filth, and arrogant rebellion against God. Does he bow his knees to pray? Even as he bows his knees, his heart rises up in rebellion against God. Does he touch anything? He sullies it with the filth of his touch. That's something of the biblical truth of the total depravity of the soul of man. Because sin is not just what man does. Sin is the monarch man serves. Sin is this inherent principle. So evil is it that it even makes God's holy law an occasion for sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.